What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is Artist Spotlight. Let's go. And these artist spotlights have been doing really good. By the way, Artist Spotlight presented by The God Show is, when we say Artist Spotlight, that just means the subject we're speaking on is going to be for artists. If you're an artist, this is the show for you. And before we get into a shout out to our sponsor, shout out to Two Laws Distribution. If you're listening, you should be distributing your music through Two Laws. It's only $3 a month. They take none of your royalties. And you can get 3 months free using God's as a code. I would do that if I was you. Just me knowing what I know. And shout out to Two Law. Shout out to, Toten Carry. And also shout out to Yoko Vaca. We're going to have the bar set up in here too. And shout out to you for watching. I appreciate y'all more than ever. Comment more. Like, call us dumb if you want. Challenge us more. The more you comment, the more gives us subject matter to talk about that you want. But with that being said, we have a legend in the building. He is a God Show alumni. He's a God Show alumni. But this is the motherfucker that created trap music. And when we said we was going to talk, I said, who better to talk about today's music and how to win in it than the person that created the sound that everybody is still doing right now? So let's give it up for the creator of all of this shit, DJ Toke. So Toke, you obviously did a God Show. This is Artist Spotlight, where we speak from a this will feel like an artist development class. Right. So we just want to ask you questions that on how to be developed on the game. So just bear with us. It's gonna be fun.
I'm here, baby.
Yeah. But so I want to ask you, so like you were there from the beginning of, to me, the most important artist in Southern rap history. Outside of Outkast, is T.I.
Brother Clifford,
shout out to T.I. You were one of the architects in the room of his sound, and you also one of the architects in the room from going from I'm Serious to trap music, which I'm Serious was very commercial, very like, it was like an L.A. Reid album, very Air Candy for anyone who listens, and you actually were on that project, and but you also led the next project, which was the direction that everybody followed. Right. So I wanted to ask you, like, inside of that scenario, like, what was the thought process when you guys went? Because, and it wasn't normal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a genre. It was kind of like you chase commercial success or you were underground.
Right.
And it was like Tip was, y'all was like, we chase commercial success, but now we're gonna bring underground to the commercial.
Okay.
That's what it felt like. I'm just curious, like, what was the mindset of you guys when you were going from I'm Serious to the trap music album?
Well,
like, what did you see? What did you notice? Well, like, everything.
I'm gonna put. I would say from
you good.
Coming from the I'm Serious to trap music. Well, I'm Serious, we were really trying to figure out, you know, which way to go with them, because you know, think about it. Tip have a balance of the East Coast, you know, up north and south.
Yeah.
So if you listen to I'm Serious, we go in a lot of directions. And we got some production on there from just different people that you would hear and just hear like, okay, damn, he's flowing like that on this Pharrell beat.
Yeah.
And on this Tump beat, he got a certain type of bounce. So he's definitely, luckily he was one of those artists who could really adapt to any vibe that you toss at him. You feel me? So I'm Serious was really that test to really see which way to lean as far as dealing with Tip. So when Dope Boys in the Trap ended up being basically one of the biggest songs off that album.
We was fucking that up.
That's when we was like, oh, you know, okay, people like that's this hustling shit, this trap shit, you know what I mean? And for me, having one foot, you know, still in the street playing around, I was able to bring some elements to where, you know, and I ain't saying nothing that ain't true, you know?
Yeah.
Showing them, you know, how to choose, you know, certain type of diamonds. Yeah. You know, hey, man, when you go buy your stones next time. Go in there with a loop. You'll get a better deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Just don't go by them little lights. So lock your loop and see what the hell is in that stone.
Yeah.
That way you'll get a better deal and know what the hell you're buying. So, you know, he started knowing what to get when he go to the apparel mart.
Yep.
I gave him his first Coogi back on the I'm Serious joint. You know, I had a crazy Coogi collection and all that shit, man. You can see
you still got it?
Man, I let all of them go. All right, so you I got some Atlanta Live and 112 pictures to show. I might post that one day later on.
Please.
Yeah, man, change this shit all over. So, you know, that's the whole dress code, you know, because, you know, of course, every artist, they're going to come with their style, but to a certain degree, you know, because KP gave us some flavor, you know, and then we was able to give him flavor as far as his dress code. Then later on, he started catching on.
This is the point where, and I want artists to hear this, this is the point where you guys are thinking like, shit, I might need to give him my freshest piece of wear because he is the face of what we're trying to build. Yeah, so I have to sacrifice my, and you know, a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, that's when Buckhead was still popping. So it's like, oh, you know, I wanted to pull up looking like money. You know, KP, let me drive the Benz.
Yeah.
You know, until he finally get his, you know,
his bread up, he could do it himself.
And was able to purchase everything he needed. But at the beginning, yeah, man, a lot of times you want your artist to look like money. You want them to pull up right, even if you got to rent something for him.
Mm.
And a lot of times, too, it's way beyond just the whole artist thing. First thing, you got to, you know, if you got an artist who may have had a man in his life that really played a part in raising him as a man. But if you have a kid who may, dad might have been in the picture and out of the picture, may have been around his uncles, but his uncle was gone for a minute. So sometimes it just takes for them to sit around another
group of great men
and say, hey, man, that's a man, don't do that no more. That ain't cool.
I'm glad you said that.
Just man development.
I'm glad you said that. That's very important. Because I always say artist development is rooted in character development.
Yes, sir.
And the one thing that I like that you said was that we knew we had to develop him as, like, we had to, like, put, you saw the missing pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, most of the time, you know, and what I like is that he was open to it.
Yeah.
And it feels like today, and I feel like the reason why we don't have as many stars today is because they're not allowing themselves to be developed. For me, it's like when I'm listening, as much as I'm listening, y'all forgetting, we talking about arrogant ass Clifford Harris, who said, or by the way, I'm not saying nothing that he ain't say on his first album. Like, who this arrogant little nigga talking about he the king of the South?
Yeah.
Like, he came in arrogant, but he was still humble enough to know I need to listen to Toon and listen to KP
because
they've been out there. And to me,
KP bought his first pair of Cartiers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what makes a star, though. A star, you don't roll out of bed to become a star. It's almost like you're the charcoal or whatever it is that you make a diamond from. Yes. Whatever it is you make a diamond from, you're that. But you don't understand. You got to clean that bitch up.
Yeah. So you representing everybody, the whole clique, me, Jason, the whole brand itself. So, you know, my music and everything. So, that's necessary, bro. And another thing, too, man, more than even just mainly with hip hop, I think the development problem is these new cats, they don't do their research. They don't respect the ones before them. They don't do any history. I always say, man, if it was up to me, I have some type of institute to run these cats through. Like, man, you at least need to know one LL song by heart or at least the words to a Run DMC or something. Because you got to think, when it comes to R&B, you can have a 15-year-old R&B artist sitting on his couch right now and ask him who was his influences. And he going to name some people who he wasn't even here to see.
Exactly.
Because he went back and watched the tapes and he went through his mom's and them crate was like, oh my God, who is this Sam Cooke?
Yeah.
Mom, his voice is amazing.
Oh, wow.
Next thing you know, this little young guy, by the time he's 18, sounding like got some Sam Cooke influence, and he'll tell you in an interview. So same thing with Kobe Bryant. He watched the Michael Jordan tapes.
You could tell.
And you could tell.
Yep.
But in rap right now, no, the old school, I you know.
You had to.
We had to. But now this new generation, they don't give a fuck about
nothing.
None of that.
Nothing. And
they don't give a fuck about who a Melly Mel is. They'll hear the little Corey Ray song and be like, oh, that's hard. Be like, yo, that, you know that came from the message. Mm-hmm. Oh, for real? And they're going about their business. Why don't you listen to the fucking message, bro? You want to hear what Melly Mel was saying? Don't you know that's the first hip-hop record with lyrics that mattered?
Yes.
My dad didn't like rap until the message came out, bro.
Mm.
Like, because the rest of this shit was just, you know, hip to the hop. Like, that's what the hell am I getting from this? And that's what grown folks, that's how we feel now. Yeah. Like, what the hell are we getting from this?
Yes, that's right. The message was the first song that grew hip-hop up.
Reality rap.
It brought reality rap to the forefront.
Lyrics, talking about something more than partying and eating your mom food and getting sick and shit. You know,
damn.
Like, you know.
That's crazy you said that. And I also think that a lot of the problem is, so I think about these young dudes, right? So I think about naturally coming up, right? And I'm slightly younger than Toomp, right? So when I came in this game, Toomp was Toomp. He was always Toomp, but when I came in this game, it was like, you got to beat from Toomp, nigga, you made it, right? Toomp, Lil Jon, it was a few guys in this city that once they put their hands on you, that meant you meant something.
Yeah.
And Toomp came from, you know, your background is that world. So when I was coming up, I just remember wanting Toomp's respect. Mm. By the way, I needed it because I was trying to get in the game and you couldn't put your music out independently. Right. That's the problem.
Right.
The direct-to-consumer model has killed the most important part, which is the development that develops you into, and you think that it's about talent. So people are mad at people like us for not choosing their talent to put them out. It's like, talent is not enough. I need to, it's like, that's like thinking just because you could play basketball, you can go in an NBA and play within a system. Mm-hmm. Like, by the way, every system runs differently. So you have to learn the X's and O's about basketball. The same way, if you want to be in rap, you got to learn the X's and O's about rap. Mm-hmm. You want to be in music, period, you got to know the X's and O's about that, because these artists be acting like they're alone by themselves, like, I can do it. And it's like, with watching them fail and hear people like yourself is saying, I can help. But it's going to be a lot of wax on, wax off to get you in shape that you don't even know you need to do. That's why you can ask it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to show you how to fight now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that's the missing piece in our culture that is hurting us, because, too, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of these young rappers who are popping are like chasing you for beats?
None.
That's the problem.
Yes.
and that's the problem.
And another reason, and going back to, I could go into a studio right now. Let's say tonight I walk into Mike Will's studio, and it might be like 3-4 young producers in there. Of course, you know, some certain one. I won't even say Mike Will, just say another studio with somebody who I don't know. And I may know the main guy who called me to, you know, to come there. So I may walk in, boom, here go one producer. What's up, bro? Toomp. Yeah, how you doing, bro? Toomp. Yeah, how you doing, man? Toomp. Then later on, as the night go on, it might say an hour, it might take an hour, maybe 2 hours for somebody to say, damn, man, why is my A&R keep walking up to this guy? Why do you want to play everything for this guy?
Yeah.
And finally, one of them niggas will say, hey, OG, what's your name again? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, Toomp.
Yeah.
You mean like DJ Toomp? And I'm like, damn, bro, you mean you ain't know? You don't know what the fuck I look like?
Yeah.
And finally, they just, oh man, get out of here. Yeah. And the other dude might go to Googling, and an hour later, damn, bro, you did that. And I was like, yo, these little dudes don't know. Man, I knew who everybody was when I got into this game, bro.
Because we had to, and they don't.
We had
they
to.
And the reason why they don't is because you don't have.
They don't care.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say this. I don't want to paint the picture like they don't care as much as I want to paint the picture like they don't know they need to care.
Okay, because they don't know that.
Because, let me tell you why I say that. Let me tell you why I say that. Because.
You'll say that.
Because. At some point in time, we have to be the welcomers. We obviously are welcoming them, but they're not coming. So we got to find a way to say, no, you're welcome. We know you don't care, but that's because you don't need to care. But let me tell you why you need to care. Because if you, like, dog, if you pay attention, rap careers now have been lasting about 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
If that.
Like, if, for real. Like,
it's getting shorter.
Like, dog, like, I don't even, is Sweetie still an artist?
Wow.
I'm not even being funny, by the way. I'm being honest with my heart.
Controversy more
like,
than
like,
music.
Like
right
I hear,
now.
That's my point. I hear controversy, and that's what they don't understand. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that the message that they're sending to the world is that this matters more than that. That's why I talk about that. And what I mean about that about Sweetie is like, when, like it almost feels like you had a money goal. See, artists have a life goal.
Yeah.
You got to get that first before you can have a money goal. How you coming to here with a $3 million money goal? You don't even know what the fuck you selling, my nigga. Right. You got to have an artist goal first before you get to the money goal.
Right.
So I just feel like a lot of these artists out here are not doing what they need to do for them to win long term, which is develop themselves or go to people like yourself to get developed.
But you got to understand, too, it's a... I ain't gonna just call out no names or whatnot, but it's a generation of artists who are doing this because they don't want to go to jail, or their mom keep telling them they need to get a job.
Yeah,
that's their choice. They never really thought about doing this shit. Never done any research on it, going back to that. They just woke up and said, hey, man, I'm going to try this rap shit, man.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to try this rap shit.
Trap. I got locked up 3-4 times. I see trapping and hustling ain't my thing.
Yep.
I'm finna try this rap shit.
Yep.
And when somebody come in with that mentality, I'm going to try this rap shit. Hey, man, hey, Toot, man, you know, little cousin or nephew. You know I'm rapping now. What? Do you got some old shit? Did you just wake up and say that you're rapping now? That's not how it goes. You know? I mean, my nephew could rap for real because, you know, he studied the greats, but I'm just giving an example.
No. I'm with you.
A relative or a next door neighbor who you just know who might have been straight A in school or an incredible basketball player. He'd be like, damn, bro, you don't play basketball no more? Twisting the dread. No, I don't do that rap shit, man.
I want to tell you something. That to me,
that's a problem.
Is the problem because they're chasing after the easiest, lowest hanging fruit that they think is there,
bro.
And now you got to have a gimmick. Mm-hmm. You have it, but you haven't worked on yourself.
See, the thing about it, and I said this once before, and I'm always say it, and I didn't get this from nobody. It's a tomb shit. The music business is the only business that you could get in without a certification.
I always say that.
Educated. You could just wake up. That's why a lot of hustlers who had like 500 or 600 or even a good meal, you know, tucked away. Shit, man, I'm going to go and start a record company. Yep. Buy 2 vans. Because, you know, I think go to a few conferences.
they think they know. They got the whole thing figured out.
They think all you need.
Hey, man, I'm going to get T-shirt for everybody. Boy, we're going to hit this convention and dress alike. And they're going to know that we here. And we're going to put posters up.
If you don't have a TI.
Yeah, bro.
If you don't have a TI.
You got to have somebody.
You
got to
have a
TI.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Everybody want to put money in this business. You want to be in this business. You're a dope boy. Got some money. You a dope kid. You got some money. That's all great.
See, but I'm going to tell you some real shit. 100. Each camera, 100.
Let's go.
I ain't trying to be on no gangster shit. Nobody had the balls to tell Meech that Blue Da Vinci was whack.
Mm.
Nobody had the balls to tell me.
But let me tell you what they did.
But imagine if them niggas had, you know what I mean? Either, of course, Jeezy had this thing already popping. But imagine if BMF had an artist that was on Jeezy, like a
was
Jeezy
really
level
they artist.
Or Dopa. Or if Jeezy was really their artist. Oh, my God.
Oh,
bro.
My God.
You would have to try to figure out which boy that money really came from.
And that's the realest shit. That's the realest
and
shit.
And that's what they didn't want to happen.
Yeah, you can't just put money into your boy because he want to rap, man. You got to make him go through something. It's like your kid telling you he want to. Like, I don't see nobody out here saying, my little son want to be a director, man. I just spent $80,000 on a movie for him.
Yeah.
What? Do you even know how to put it out? Do you know how to market it? Do you know anything?
Yeah,
I'm going to just do it.
I remember like in 2009, about 2010, I had a meeting with the great Carmelo Anthony, man, and he had an artist that he wanted.
It was Lala Brother. He was pushing Lala Brother. Yeah, I remember that.
I said, cool, but I said, what's special about him, though, bro? I said, you could easily fuck up 150, man. I said, he cool, but you're going to have to really, I said, he's going to have to be active. He can't be waiting on you.
Yep.
And that's the thing about it. I heard you speak on that a lot of times, man. And that's my man TJ. He speak on it also. It's like a lot of these artists think that the manager is supposed to take you there. No, you are a product that's neat. Do you have enough shit popping that needs to be managed?
Mm.
Are you even popping enough to be managed?
You need a manager, right?
You know what I mean? And that's the self-development that comes first before a manager is even attracted and even looking in your direction.
That shit,
baby. It's the first level of development is that motherfucker in the mirror.
Yep.
Question.
You know what I mean?
Do you think because of the importance of clout and the look now that takes away from all the development? Could they focus more on the clout and the look?
Man, if so, man, they twisted.
I was about to say, that's a hard one because you're right.
And it's right, but that clout shit it stops right there. It's whatever that clout is, whatever it is that you've done, whether it's a good deed or a foolish deed on social media to get this clout, to get everybody looking in your direction, that shit ain't gonna last but about a week.
That's what I say.
What can we listen to? What can we walk off with? What's stuck into our ribs about you?
You gotta.
It's foolish.
It's a trick. It's all a trick. Like by the way, it's a trick for new artists too. It's always been a trick. You had to make T.I. look like a star before he was the star.
Yeah.
That's the trick. We all understand it. We're not mad at that trick.
Right.
But we are talking about forward-facing trick.
Mm-hmm.
But we also are smart enough to know that once they look, if we don't have everything behind us right and together, all we did was waste all our time and energy for some shit that wasn't right anyway.
Yeah.
It's like McDonald's saying the burgers ain't ready, but the restaurant's open. What the hell are we buying?
Yeah, man. That's real.
What are we buying? Like, the restaurant's open, but they ain't nothing ready. Like, what can, well, the burgers gonna be tomorrow, so what I'm supposed to do then? I don't know what to do.
Like, shit, and everything.
But guess what? Y'all lost money today, because now I'm not spending no money. Y'all, the lights are on, employees are here. And that's why I tell people, I'm like, before you spend a dollar, make sure that your shit is right.
Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you, too, another thing that's funny, because you gotta understand, the entertainment business, period, just from being a, even athletes, so just think, being an athlete and being in the entertainment business, when I say entertainment, that's, you know, film,
for sure,
movies, you know, rapping, singing, and everything. At the beginning, the motherfucker who was really getting money in life was the pimps and the hustlers.
Yep.
All right? So, when Run DMC style got developed, Jay brought that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, y'all gonna rock shell toe. We gonna dress like dude and them down here who moving these packs. You know, that's the look, man.
Yeah.
It's leather.
Yeah.
Because rappers, you know, they came out with the spikes and shit at first. Melly Mel and them.
Yeah.
Even with R&B.
Look like costumes.
Yeah, so if you look at these old R&B covers, them boys dressing like pimps.
It was just like suits.
They dressing like the Mac and them, because that's who was able to afford real minks back then.
Yes.
Osley Brothers wasn't making that kind of money. They was renting those minks. Then, of course, they started getting that kind of money.
You're so right.
But only people who could afford that type of gear was the hustlers. So that's who, when you look at those old R&B covers, they were dressed like the dope pushers from the 70s back then. That's the look.
That's right. Yeah.
So now that rappers are getting almost just as money, just as much money. More money as the, you know, they really getting real money now.
Yeah.
Who can they really look to get their style from?
Yeah.
Because it ain't the street guy no more.
The dope boys and the street niggas, they all the same.
They get the same thing now.
That's crazy, you
right. Yeah, so it's no really, so they like the, it kind of like you got to, like, keeping it 100, man. And I like I say, that's why y'all got me on the show, because I keep it
100. Absolutely.
I love what LaRussell is doing. But if I was around him, if I was over him, I'd say, hey, man, let's polish your shit up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Get you in the gym, dog. Yeah. Don't wait till you get money to do that. Yeah. Let's do that now.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people, you can see the difference. Okay, you might see LaRussell. All right, yeah, he's keeping it, you know, keeping it
scruffy.
But, and let's say he get his first 100 million.
Yeah.
Then he might start rocking jewelry. Of course. Whatever. Nah, man, just let's polish you up
now. Let's show him what it's going to look like. Yeah.
I don't want to look like you got money and didn't start getting flavor until you, you know what I mean? I'm the type of person who want to have artists.
But you need that.
Yeah.
And to me, we don't have that.
Because he's self-sustained. I love what he's doing, but it's still some little, because you don't really see him on interviews.
Yeah.
That's very important.
He controls every narrative around him. That he's been great at building his story. Shout out to LaRussell. That's family.
Yeah,
he's been great at building his story. But and that's why I said I want to do a project with him, because he has the piece that we wish artists had. The only piece he's missing is, like you said, it's the thing that it's another thought process in the thing that we're actually making.
Thing, yeah, it's like
and by the way, I want to just say this while you're sitting here. Artists listening, until you're in the room with someone that says, do it like this, I didn't like that line, I think you could do better, you've never worked with a producer. Until you're in a room with someone that says, no, this is where we're going, this is how we're going to do, you've never worked with a producer. But imagine how crazy your trajectory would be if you had a producer on top of everything else you were doing. Like, just someone that can produce amazing. You, it would be, in it. You can hear, like, as much as we say whatever we want to say about Sexy Red, Sexy Red came in the room with a hit producer. Tay Keith produced the records.
Yeah.
She had a nigga that knew how to make. Yeah, by the way, Tay Keith is the same nigga that did Beyonce Before I Let Go remix.
And you got to understand a lot of, and Tay Keith, you got to understand too, is him and it's a few other ones that, those guys are former engineers. So that's why I always say engineers should be getting a little production credit and points too, because them motherfuckers be hitting talk over, hey, you got to do that again. Oh, I ain't like the way you did that. Matter of fact, I'm going to slide these vocals a little bit. Hey, engineer, that's production. Whether you know it or not.
Yep.
Somebody need to tell him. I'm going to be the one to tell you.
Now you should. By the way, say that again. Engineers, if you're in the room, I want to hear it, because that's so real. If you're an engineer, you're in the room doing what?
Yeah, you just brought, you edit in and especially shit. Producing. I done seen them slide beats a certain way. Like, oh shit, you know, that was just a plain ass beat when he walked in here. Engineer done put his little joints, made it sound like an intro with the.
Yep.
Then that beat open up and
bam, like, bruh. If I was around this situation, if I was managing you, boy, you'd be giving co-production on this.
You know who that is? That is, and by the way, if you pay attention to all of the production teams, one person was a super. Like, Damon Thomas and Harvey Harvey. Damn,
Weinstein?
I'm about to say Weinstein. No, I think I'm like
Harvey Mason.
Harvey Mason. I'm about, Harvey Harvey's yeah. my brother too. Yeah. But Damon, so. Harvey was the engineer. Harvey was the Dre of it. Yeah. You make the records with Damon, but then Harvey goes in the room and gets the vocal. Damon's not even there because Damon is the fun guy. He's in the studio dancing, having a pun. Right, but now you're in the room with Harvey. Now it's serious. Let's get this record right.
See, they play
and they
part.
Had a system. And if you look at even Bruno Mars, when they added that third piece to the Smeezentins, that was an engineer. A lot of producers need to add engineers to their production teams.
Man, I've been telling cats that for a minute, man. You need to keep a cameraman around you. If you're an artist, you need to have your dope-ass cameraman who can edit, or either dope ass editor around you. All that's necessary right now.
You have that, and you have to find a way to do it. So instead of spending money on jewelry and cars, the new game is, because there was a point in time when you had to be outside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We both know we all know who LaRussell is. Yeah. I met him, of course, but we all know him from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that every artist out there has an opportunity to get our attention, to show us that they're unique or dope or different,
right.
And they're not doing it. So imagine if you was focused on your editor and your engineer and your sound and all of the aesthetics that come with you, but now you're using props, outside props for the internet, but your shit sounds better, your shit is together, and now people know, and now people can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
They see the gloss in your shit, because people can tell, I think that we see artists the same way we see everything. Like, we don't want to take on a new TV show unless we know it's going to be good.
Right.
We don't want to we don't want to buy a new clothing brand. We like our life for the most part. Yeah. And if we don't, we trying to figure out how to better our shit, not better the shit around our shit.
Yeah, even like you say, clothing brands, man, you know, that's why they got mannequins. They try to show you what happened when you put these pieces together. That's why they have fashion shows, because you may see some clothing and say, all right, man, I don't think I rock that. But the minute you see it,
you got to sometimes see the motion.
How you rock it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you just got to see something.
But they have to learn how to, if an artist is listening, I think that we just gave them the blueprint to develop themselves. Here's the blueprint, right? If they're listening, I mean, hey, you know, it's a hard motherfucking, it's a hard if right there.
They can watch this whole fucking interview and still not listen.
I know why. I want you to understand. I know why you don't listen. You don't listen because you want it so bad that you just kind of like, tell me what I need to do.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is place yourself in these stories.
Right.
Like, and figure out where you fit in, like finding your white space, finding your creative space, finding your lane. Like, I always tell people, I give an example. Most artists that work, especially if they work more than once, there's a reason, even if they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Fetty Wap. Give me an example, Fetty Wap. Fetty Wap, all four of his records celebrated black women. Go all for his singles. Trap Queen was as ghetto as a sound.
Yeah,
he was bigging up women. She's my trap queen. Then won't you be mine again, baby? I can't see myself without you.
And like the other one, come around your way or something.
Baby, won't you come my way? It was so aggressive that when it came out, you didn't realize that the songs were kind of popular. I mean, kind of positive. I mean, like, and then the other one he had was 679 when he did that one. But that one is, how does 679 go?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't remember the title, but I might know the melody.
I can't see myself without you. Like, every song was dedicated to women.
Damn.
As gangsta as he looked, aggressive as it felt, every song celebrated women.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the artists that's winning. They all have something in common. And they all are the same. Now, imagine if his first song was Trap Queen and his second song was Trap Bitch. It might not work.
Right, yeah.
Because you just called us queens. And you, even though the word trap is considered hood, you still found a way to say she might.
It's
a queen behind
it. Even Biggie came out, you know, he was just rough at first. But then he made the One More Chance, you know.
And then when he figured that shit out, it was like, ooh.
That's a good one. And then you got to think, too, because you remember when Biggie first came out, he was, you know, he was dressed like Outkast.
Like dirty, like dirty,
yeah,
like,
you know,
dreads.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also had, like, nappy hair with a twist
nappy
on it.
Little
yeah.
dread thing, yeah. Then later on, you know, he started rocking the Coogees and the suits.
But,
and what's crazy.
Go ahead, I want you to say
he did that. You remember what? I'll say that's when Atlanta Live and all them clubs opened. We talking about what?
95?
Late 90s, yeah.
94, 95.
And it's funny, man, how certain artists can have an influence on society. I mean, of course, it's natural, but after Biggie, Well, he came out and started, you know, I don't know, I guess that was Puff Idea who just really
Puff
started
getting that shit up.
Yeah, he got him right with the Coochies and shit and the Versace shades.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Man, every big dark skinned dude nigga, in your town,
they thought, nigga, my best friend Slow, RIP, would be like, nigga, Biggie made big niggas cool. So
cool
even
again.
If you was a big nigga, you found it was always a reason to
swag,
connect.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yes. Same thing with Rick Ross. A lot of motherfuckers starting
with him.
Beard grow out.
Yep.
Like, oh shit, that's the look. Yeah. It's a bossy look.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers been keeping their shit clean all the time. Now you got big black dudes with the beards.
Yeah.
Start rocking the shades. Man, you go to every city, you'll see somebody look like Rick Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we were saying that, like, for you to be a star, that we speaking now, we first started speaking about talent and how to make talent work in a way that makes money in your pocket.
Right.
This next conversation, this what we start now, this is superstar talk.
Okay.
This ain't can you make a great song? This is do people want to be like you? Mm. This is like me and Rick was just in my office. And we both had a moment because we were around the same age and we were speaking about the Bratz Give It To You video. Remember the Give It To You video with the Bratz?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they was at this big house and everybody entered. And I was like, that video made me want to be in this shit.
You know what? Want to be a part of that. Want to be invited.
Yes.
Yes.
Want to be invited to the next event.
Nigga,
like
I want
to.
Yes. And what they showed that rappers are not doing today. Oh, that's just good. They show the lifestyle.
Yes.
They show the standard.
Yeah.
And we don't have that anymore.
Right.
Now everybody is showing. And my thing is, whatever it is, it's okay. But it just got to be real. And as much as Biggie came in clean, he started dirty.
Yes. Yeah, he started
and every
dirty,
nigga that knew him, loved him dirty, was okay with him going to get that money. Mm-hmm. That's when 50 Cent said, you know, Banks told me, go ahead, set the style up. Like, dog, that's what you got to do. You got to figure out, this is what I would say, if you have to figure out why the world isn't loving you. Like I always tell people, it's like.
Yeah, you're right. 50 Star Make a Female Records.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But no, nigga, right. Tip, nigga, when watching Tip with y'all, nigga, of course, we love What's Your Name. We love fucking I'm Serious. We love the album. By the way, I'm Serious album is a great album.
Yes,
we love Let's Get Away. But the niggas, them hood niggas, them street niggas all gravitated to Dope Boys in the Trap, right, nigga. Yeah. Nigga, he comes with an album called Trap Music. He already showed that he was making, he was a perfect artist. He made records for the chicks, the streets. Mm-hmm. He was street, but he dressed clean. Yep. I feel like these guys got to figure out a way to like, almost like produce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How you produce your music. You got to produce your look. You got to produce your sound. You got to, dog, pay attention to Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Ross changed his voice. 2 Chainz changed his name.
Yeah.
T.I. changed his.
Love that.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like
yeah,
these
yeah,
niggas,
bro.
Like Frank Ocean changed his name. These niggas were in the trenches and was like in it and was still like, it ain't working. I got to figure out something.
Yeah,
I got to figure out what's my thing.
List
yep. Yeah. And exactly. And you got to have your head on a swivel. And to me, that's the part that makes me frustrated when I said, I hope y'all listening. Because if you're listening, your head's on a swivel.
Right.
If you ain't listening, that means your head ain't on the swivel, which means you're going to get hit by a boulder in a day or two and you'll be gone or another nigga going to pass you. And this shit is competition. Speaking of competition, rap beef.
Hoo-hoo.
What are your thoughts on rap beef?
Shit on the grill right now, ain't it? Flip it over, Bill. Don't let it cook too long. Man, honestly, I feel like, you know, man, once again, man, I'm a hip-hop god, bruh.
Absolutely.
You know, I still like watching Wild Style once a year, like people like watching Wizard of Oz, man. Mm. You know, the whole battle shit. You know, that's cool. The battling and the competitive spirit should just be in you throughout life. Whether you're working in a fucking this building, where you're working in a damn AT&T building, whatever, it should be some type of competitive spirit. You should feel like, hey man, everybody here making 30 an hour, but I'm trying to work up, man, I get this 50 an hour position.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to keep this shit competitive. If it ain't competitive, it's boring. Mm-hmm. So, and I was speaking earlier of how at the peak of most rappers' careers, when they had a target to shoot at, bro.
Ooh, damn. I never thought about that.
Yeah, you got to have a target to shoot at to really, for your shit to be exciting for people to. I was just thinking like Tip, you know. When Tip first came out, he was ready to just battle.
Yes.
And he ripped I-20 live on the radio. You know, that's when Luda and Poon used to be on.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
And Tip kept saying, hey, man, I can out-rap any motherfucker down here. I got it. You know, I'm stamped by everybody, but anybody got a problem? And Luda was like, hey, I'm going to get my boy I-20 on.
Yeah.
I bet you can't fuck with I-20.
Yeah.
And they got on the radio. You might still pull it up on YouTube. They rapped right on the radio, and Tip ate them up. And so when he came in, he had, you know, that was that competitive spirit. And you got to walk in. That's what you got to bring, bro. You got to carry that in this shit. And if it's not that, it's going to get boring. So Drake, as good as he could rap, people still know all the words to back to back more than they know a lot of other records. Yeah. Because he had a target to shoot at. And Rick Ross, you know, Rick was talking.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Bro, I was talking to Jeezy on some of them records, you know, and they finally got it together.
Yeah.
And Jeezy was, the niggas know Jeezy was talking about Tip on the first mixtape.
Oh, nigga, he was, when his name was Lil J, I was the intern Jeezy for Paris. Jeezy was dissing Tip.
I mean, thank God they cool.
Then they cool now. They got cool before it blew up, but they had issues.
Yeah, so it's so.
Well, Jeezy had an issue because Tip was the target. Tip was the man.
So when you got that kind of something to aim at instead of just going in the booth just making records, that is cool, but somewhere in your career, you got to shoot targets at. You got to bang at somebody, man. Just Jay-Z and Nas, like LL.
You just really put everything in perspective for me.
Kumo D, How You Like Me Now? That came from him having problems. Ice-T, and like everybody's, some of the best records that you like from some of your biggest artists is because they were shooting at a target. What you know, man. That's why Tip met that last verse. That was to Lil Flip, man. Take you out that Bentley coupe, snatch it to the chop shop. You know, that's, you know, when the whole thing,
yeah,
you
know. Of course.
They weren't afraid back then.
Yeah, and shit, at one point Tip was shooting at Wayne a little bit.
Yeah, but yes, you know, they weren't afraid. They wasn't afraid. Yes. They wasn't afraid because social media wasn't as big as it is now.
No, it wasn't around.
Nigga, let me tell you what I mean by that. Like, I can go sit, me and Tump can go sit down and eat at a restaurant at Lenox Mall. All it takes is one person to recognize Ray and Tump. Now niggas know where we at.
Yeah.
So I think that's another reason why they had to do it. But it's something that you said that I think is very important that I never thought about. Drake doesn't understand this, and somebody on his team should tell him. But I would, if I was on Drake's team, I would tell him, hey, bro, in America, they shoot at whoever has the crown. Yes. And you've had it a very long time. Mm-hmm. And you've won with it a very long time. But at some point in time, you got to get ready for somebody to shoot at you, yes, because man. You have the crown. Yeah. And Jay-Z did with a Nas. Yeah. Mind you.
Shit. Game came in slinging shit at folks.
50 Cent had to bury Murder, Inc.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Dog, if you pay attention to everything, like when you, yeah. No, Master P didn't do a fucking thing to Pastor Troy.
Pastor Troy came in.
He didn't do nothing to Pastor Troy. Pastor Troy took the entire army down with one song.
Yeah, bro.
And it's, so it's like when you got the crown, they gon' shoot at you.
Come on, man.
So, Drake, nigga, you can't take it. You can't be sensitive or nothing about it. And what I think happened is that they recognize behind closed doors that you're not one of them. You're really a Canadian. You talk like a Canadian.
Yeah.
When you know what I'm saying? You rap like us, but when you talk like a Canadian, which, because he is. Mm-hmm. And I think that at some point, I think what happened is that resentment starts building up. It's almost like this nigga is really not man. One of
US
us. And he's
Browns,
really,
man.
And he got everybody like on him, and I'm helping him. Cause that's nothing you don't realize. You, when you stand next to a nigga, you co-signing them. So I think that's what happened. But I never looked at it like that. Drake, you got the crown.
Yeah.
My nigga, whoever has the crown is, when Jay had the crown, when Wayne took the crown. Mm-hmm. He went on a war against everybody. He was, I'm the greatest rapper alive.
This, bro, and I'm reaching at this. And I'm going to tell you. And honestly, man, that boy, Jeffrey, man.
Young Thug?
No. What's J. Cole's real name?
Oh,
Jermaine. I was like, all right, you went in on Kanye with false idols? He snapped on Ye.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't apologize.
Mm.
So
why apologize to his friend?
Why was he apologize? What part? That's the part when it comes to rap beef or battle. I won't even call it beef. I'm gonna call it battling, because beef is when it's, you know.
Yeah, not that battling. Yeah, because beef ain't beef is no. Beef is when your mom, you know, can't walk up
real.
In the street.
Beef is real.
Well, Biggie beef said is beef is beef is when I see you, guaranteed to be an I see you. That's no beef, way. Nigga. That's not that.
Yeah,
these niggas
got to roll 30 deep. Yeah, your moms, you know,
ain't safe up in these streets. Like,
yeah, there you go. But,
see how we can go to a rap song immediately and talk about it. That's what rap is. It was always our reference.
But some of those ones that we speaking of from the 80s, late 80s and 90s. You know, shit, Ice Cube got in a real, and Lynch Mob got in a real fight with N.W.A. And
yeah.
That was a while back.
That was real.
At the New Music Seminar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a real
it was
fight.
It was in Straight Outta Compton movie.
Yeah.
They had
King
that scene
Son
in there.
Had to get in and help Ice Cube fight in that. You know, remember King Son?
Yeah.
He was on Ice Cube's side helping them fight them cats. They say it was a big fight. Shit, with Luke and Death Row.
They went at it.
The Jack the Rapper. I watched that whole thing go down.
Really? Yeah. Luke and Death Row had beef?
Yes. Yeah,
that was
big
thing,
the whole Dre Day video
fight,
when
man.
They had AJ Johnson playing
Luke
and all that.
Right.
That was right at downtown.
That was real.
Jack the Rapper. Niggas got stabbed up and everything.
You
know,
right. I forgot
over.
Luke's bending over, so Luke's getting fucked.
Bro. Mm-hmm. So that was, but like I say, the beef records, man, you're going to remember every lyric of those joints for the rest of your life.
It was real back then. Like, you remember Kumo D?
Yeah,
and
LL Cool J,
LL, the album cover with the Renegade, with the Kango bucket on the floor in front, like he's running over.
Nigga,
LL been competitive. You know, I don't know if y'all see. I remember LL when, like, we talking about the
radio 84.
What was the big? Yeah, we speaking like 87, 88, like. Yeah, even
I'm bad.
His whole demeanor was like, "Who wants some?"
Yeah,
when he walk into the building, bro,
our ladies love Cool J, like, but we can go at it if you want.
Licking his lip, but he looking like, whoever wants some of this. He had that competitive spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's why I was telling Tip. I said, "Hey, man, I don't know how long you're gonna do comedy, but if you want to get back in this rap shit, you got to still let niggas know you got 32 to 16 bars.
Like,
just
you don't play, and you don't like you ready for whatever.
And that you still ready for whatever. Because some people be like, oh man, the Tip with Dre is different than the one with the low haircut. Yeah. So I'm like, oh shit.
But you know what it is? You gotta put
he don't put in work though. That's why.
But you gotta pull a page out of Hov's book. Like, mm-hmm. Give somebody a verse. Do a God did verse, like,
yes,
like get
up, that.
But that's what, and let that be the talk.
That's
what you gotta, it's just strategy,
either a sway or something, but still let these niggas know that you're a warrior when it comes to slinging them words around,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for him to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, do you still love this shit? If so, man,
because if you love it, we'll know it.
Yeah,
and by the way, I don't
know that you can rap your ass off. Mm-hmm.
And I was gonna say, fans,
not wait for no song,
fans can tell when you really enjoy what you do.
Yeah,
they can see through when you're here to get money,
yeah,
or when you're here because you really love it. Mm-hmm. Because you start to do things differently. You start to rise differently. You start to attempt different things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, don't when Tip did fucking Whatever You Like, that was, I'm gonna try something different. I'm gonna sing on a whole incredible song, and it was incredible.
Catered but to you, the women again.
Yes, he, yeah. but he mm-hmm. understood, I can't stay in the same place. Yeah, yeah. And I think these artists don't understand. And here's why. So I don't want them thinking I'm saying it mm-hmm. like, because it's my opinion. I'm saying it because here's mm-hmm. why it's a fact. Because whoever started with you is growing too. Right. So like, Outkast is my favorite rap group of all time.
Okay.
Nigga, and A-Ball MJG is too. But the reason why I stay with Outkast and they, because Outkast grew. It's a different, there's a different album between Southern Playlistic and ATLians. Those are different albums.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Definitely.
Way different album with Aquemini.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come with Stankonia, which was Bombs Over Baghdad, Running Through Bankhead, Purple Fields.
Right.
Then you come with Speaker Box, Love Below. None of those albums are alike. That's why they, that's why they're so big, because none of those albums are alike. You have to grow as an artist. You cannot. Yeah. And I think that's also the thing that hurt Drake. I think that he stayed Certified Lover Boy since the day he came in.
Yeah.
He never had a public relationship. He never put nothing on the line. It was almost like, I'm giving you guys the perfect version, but we, the fans wanted more. Mm-hmm. And we knew you would. So even like how they found that you was a father, nigga, another nigga said that.
Yeah, it took mm-hmm. Pusha T.
It took another nigga to say you got a father. Like, you didn't even tell the world you was a, like, you didn't even scream that at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, are you trying to be that squeaky clean?
Yeah, like, so for me, it's like, you got, if you're an artist, you gotta change.
You ain't hitting raw here once in a while, nigga.
Come on, man. Exactly. So for me, it's like, I just look at it from that standpoint, like, you gotta grow, and you cannot come back the same.
Yeah.
And that's why you gotta do, because your fan base is growing. So like, if you had to be a certain age to be an Outkast fan. Now, people right. know about them, but they, like Outkast, Biggie, them, all them niggas that came in that year, them niggas are still the GOATs to this day, because the niggas that were coming Agreed. Up are running the game from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, we don't got, have you compared, is there anybody in this era you could compare to Biggie?
No.
That you could say is as good as Jay?
No.
That's as serious as Tip?
No.
I got you.
Nobody.
So let me ask you this. So as far as the Canada.
Yeah.
Tory Lanez from Canada, right?
Yes.
But did he fuck with Drake?
It was weird because Drake didn't really fuck with him, but until Tory got hot.
Yeah.
And to me, Tory got hot because Drake doesn't have the personality Tory does.
Right.
Like, and what I mean by the personality is, I mean like,
nah,
like if it's a camera on you and like you're American not rapping, are you still entertaining?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're still entertaining.
Like Tory was still entertaining when it wasn't about music.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
So he could sing his ass off and he could rap his ass off.
And he was a shit talker. He was funny when he had Quarantine Radio.
And from Drake being the only hot motherfucker out of Canada right now, yeah, he definitely got barrels pointed at him, man.
And I mean, the other big artist out of Canada is lining up with other people on this side, which is The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Weeknd, yeah.
Why is that happening? It's like, dog, you did something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, did something.
He might didn't do what he was supposed to do, yep. or what he promised to do.
He might not have promised what he was supposed to do to three or four different people.
Yeah, because I think as long as Drake been around, he should have been able to put at least three people on out of Canada by now.
Nigga, somebody in the U.S., somebody. But the thing is that
somebody,
because he doesn't risk anything, he doesn't reward anything. And yeah. I think that we've seen, like, I don't think that To Pimp a Butterfly Kendrick album is that fire. To me, I know a lot of people do think it's that fire.
Yeah, that motherfucker
was. It's different. It's different. But it's acquired taste. But yeah. My point is that I respect that he tried.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that he went somewhere else trying to take us somewhere else. Because mm-hmm. to me, that's what an artist does. An mm-hmm. artist tells us, hey, I'm over here now.
Yeah.
This is where we are now. Like when Jay-Z, I always said, when he said, I don't wear jerseys, I'm 30 plus, give me a. Like it was like the first time niggas was like, I don't want to wear jerseys no more.
So let me ask you this. And I haven't heard anybody ask this question. When Kendrick got popular outside of his mixtape audience,
yeah,
he got popular when they called him on stage and crowned him. Mm-hmm. What other artists have ever been introduced in the game like that? And what made the city of LA decide to do that?
I think they knew he was special. Hey. I think they knew he was special, and I think they knew he was there. You know who I compare it to? It's like Kendrick Lamar to me is like Atlanta's little baby, right?
And when we still
nah, but we love no, we fuck with Migos. Those are niggas.
Mm-hmm.
But real Atlanta know that they out, they live outside they of the 285.
But it still took for them to make songs to be embraced. No, L.A. said, hey, man, we finna call this guy. It, people in L.A. who might knew who he was at the same time or might didn't. But out of the city, of out of California, for the people who, like I say, wasn't familiar with his underground mixtapes or whatever, was like, who's Snoop Game? And wow, the whole city are...
He was signed to Dre and Top.
Introducing this guy as that guy?
Yeah.
Like, I know we approved T.I. as the king of the South, but we didn't just have no big thing where you come on stage and crown him or put the cape on him. Like, that was some rare shit, and it worked.
Well, I'm
so
say,
I'm wondering, like, who idea was that?
I'm going to try to say, I'm gonna say this.
Well, on some marketing shit.
I think that if Atlanta had that, because let's be clear, the last, I think, Atlanta's only probably crowned two rappers, kings, three instantly.
T.I. definitely.
T.I.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast.
Okay.
And to me, Lil Baby.
I say they gave Future more than Lil Baby.
Yeah. Nah. Oh, no, not Atlanta. Yeah. No, not Atlanta.
I say so. Future more than Lil Baby.
You think
who's still popping right now?
No. I'm not arguing who's still popping. No. I'm talking
and
about
the most joint.
I'm talking about the streets.
And who's on everybody's shit?
I want to say Future. I think Future too.
Let me tell you,
take nothing away from Lil Baby. But
No. Future, hear me out.
Future.
Okay, let's do this. I'm gonna tell you what I mean. I got my argument to tell you what I mean. Okay, Future wanted to do this shit. Yep. He's always wanted to do this shit. Mm-hmm. Future had to get hot, and then get hot, and then get hot. Again and again and again, to the point where he got so hot that he never left again. After the Sierra era, when him and her was going through that and he was making other records, when he came back with that I'm a monster on them hoes, he ain't looked back since. But hear me out, Lil Baby was asked from Thug, P, Gucci, man, you should rap. They encouraged him to rap.
That's Future,
no, but I'm saying, hear me out, but hear me out, but that's crowning him, though. Hear me out. Let me say, think about this for a second, y'all. You got these powerful people who are all making money from music, telling someone he needs to do it. Okay. That's how important he was to the streets. That's what I mean. And when he came in, he was already crowned as Atlanta King with That's My Dog. Future, I heard about Future after a couple mixtapes.
I heard about Future after a couple mixtapes.
I also think because Baby was signed to QC, who had the crown of the city, and they said, this is our next one.
I think the timing made it look like that, because when Baby did start his rise, QC was already, they was moving and grooving. You know, so they was already established. So it was a big light on them already. I think with Future, it was the records.
It was the records, and they kept coming. DJ Lando, man, I remember being at Onyx.
DJ Nando, yep.
Nando. And I remember him playing some one time, and I'm in there, and I'm like, looking at the booth, I'm like, who is that? He's like, Future. And about 30 minutes later, another joint. I was like, I walked up to the booth, I'm like, who is that? He said, another Future. Man, it might have been like six records he played back to back in like 2 hour time. I'm like, oh, this is a motherfucker next.
But he is, but you proved my point. It was because of the music. I'm saying Lil Baby was considered, like, go look at that Lil Baby interview where he did The Breakfast Club, where P was like, he ain't take it serious. And I was telling him, if you just take it serious, you didn't have to tell Future to take it serious. Like, you had, like, we was, they was asking him to do it. Like, you gotta do it. And it was almost like, because of that, we didn't get a chance.
The city crown. Like I say, the label. You could say the label.
But did LA crown Kendrick, or was it Dre, Game, and no? See, I'm saying it's the same thing. I'm speaking from the industry standpoint, because we wasn't in LA. So in LA, it might have been way different. But to the outside world, man, it looked like he was the one.
If you were to ask everybody right now and get a poll and ask everybody in the city, who would they crown as the king right now?
No. Baby, that's not what I'm saying. Who's the crown? It is absolutely Pluto. That's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying,
who did they crown in the beginning? Like how you just said, we speaking about how they got
honestly,
in the room.
Nobody down here got crowned the way they crowned Kendrick in L.A.
Nobody.
Nah. I mean, you can speak of something. Yeah, you can recognize that potential, but I'm saying that that's a rare, first of all, but when I saw that whole Kendrick thing, that was just a rare thing. I was like, Hold on, so
I don't remember that happening with anybody.
Everybody who crowned, are y'all about to retire and saying y'all just finna let him run? Like,
nah, they knew that. You gotta remember, there's nothing.
And then when I heard it, I was like, okay, dude, dope.
But
crazy,
but
I can see.
But I mean, not
I
to
just
be
never saw that happen.
Not to be disrespectful to the West Coast, because I love the West Coast music, but the West Coast gives us a superstar every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
Atlanta was a once a month type shit, almost once every 6 months. Every quarter it was a different nigga.
At that time. At that time.
No, I'm saying at that time, exactly. But what I'm speaking about is that the West, because they don't have a lot, nigga, the little that they do got, they got to put behind whoever they think is the one. That was more lineage for the West and us keeping the West going. Because let's also be clear, Kendrick doesn't rap like he's from the West Coast. And yeah, I think that played. I think that played. He wasn't a bitches ain't shit rapper. You know, he wasn't the. You know, it ain't no fun of the homie can't have none. He was like, he was talking real rap. He was good kid, Mad City.
Yeah,
but I think that that's why L.A. crowned him.
Yes, it was
incredible.
Still one of my favorites, yes, sir.
From the skits to his mom and dad talking to like, hey man, just come on, man. Top call. Top said that he wants a studio. Like all of that shit made me feel like I knew that nigga.
And see, and that's another thing too, man. That's why I think now this new generation is about to start. You start like the sales of wax is going up like 10%.
Yep.
I think motherfuckers about to start printing up CDs again now. I think Taylor Swift sold a few cassettes and whatnot, right?
Yep.
So now I think the new generation, as far as consumption or being consumers, are understanding the experience of an album from the intro, letting it play. Don't just get your favorite records and download them. No, we want you to feel this shit from the beginning to the end, to understand that this is it's a theme to this album.
Yep.
It's an intro and an outro. It's a reason why this song's the last one. It's a reason why this skit is right here to lead into this.
Yep.
But if you just downloading shit from
playing what you want,
you're not really getting the gist experience of that album, that experience. You know what I mean? What made Life After Death, that's what made America's Most Wanted. That's what made trap music.
You know, when Adele made her album, when she put it on streaming, she made it where you can't play it out of order.
You have to play it in sequence.
You have to play it in sequence.
That's gangster.
She made it where you have to play it in sequence. You can't play it out of order.
Pay attention to that.
I don't know. I mean, she should have. I mean, but she's Adele. It don't matter what the fuck she does.
I understand how important that is, though, man. But like we were talking about the whole development thing, bro. I think nowadays, too, artists got to, like you say, it's certain things you got to have going on to make a person say, damn, I'm going to be like him. Oh, I like the way he did this. So nowadays, when I'm sitting with a new artist, I'm like, all right, what else you got going on besides you just trying to be a rapper? Can you play some ball?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what else are you into?
Are you skateboarding? You know, that's why Wayne decided to balance his shit off. Like, hey, let me get this other market.
Yeah.
I'm not the best skateboarder, but let me show that
I have other interests. Yeah,
craft type shit. So and that's when he started getting. And guess what he did? Start printing up T-shirts catering to the skateboarders.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. That's so real.
And so yeah. So my whole thing is if you are a rapper if you got basketball skill, let us see that too. If you could cook, let us see that. If you got a great word of the day. Like we shouldn't have to just know who you are just when you get a hit record, let me be able to say, oh, I remember dude. Yeah, he be saying some cool shit. He be having a little word of the day. Oh, that's the comedian dude.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I ain't know he rapped too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an actor. You know, like what else you got that can get people attention? Because sometimes, let's just say, if you had some skits like what's the man name from Atlanta, man, be walking slew footed with the Air Force Ones. What's his name?
Oh, it's Desi Banks.
Desi Banks.
Love Desi. Yeah.
So imagine if Desi on the low was a rapper and had some dope ass records put to the side. His comedy shit done set his rap career up so perfect to
easy.
As long as they
brand adjacent, and it's gonna. As long as he's not trying to rap about gangster shit, unless he's in character being funny like Black Air Force Ones do.
Yeah.
Then he could do it. I'm glad you brought that up.
So you got to have more going on than just that. Nowadays, man, I think, you know?
I want to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this before, you know, I get to wrap it up from these motherfuckers.
Oh, good.
I'm trying to get it out there before KG texts me. You're at this time. You have 7 more minutes. Wrap up. But hello. But now I want to ask you, producers, right? You've always been at the forefront of producers, but there was something that you said that I thought was super important that I actually should listen to myself is that producers building with the right people, right? So you had a person, like, shout out to Shakir. You had a relationship with an A&R in a building, and you made more money in history probably with that person by staying close to him. I want to talk about that because L.A. Reid always said this. He said, producers are one of two things. He said, either they're a wife or they're a whore. Mm. And he was like, Dre is a wife. If Dre works with you, when he works with you, you either sign to him or he's invested in doing everything with you from beginning. And you're not getting a beat from Dre.
Right.
You're not getting a beat from Dre. You're not. So he said, but then you have other producers who they wouldn't give beats to everybody. They whores. Right. Everybody could get the sound.
Right.
Dre didn't give his sound to everybody. Now, both have success, but because Dre built something, I don't think no one has ever compared Pharrell to Dre. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we ever compared them because we don't even see them in the same category because one was a builder of sounds and one was a builder of people. And I say that to say that when you said the thing about making money, and I not to put somebody else in their business, but I was talking to Mark and Tricky Stewart one day, and they said that they wrote down on a piece of paper all the people they made the most money with. Because then you start realizing sometimes I'm over here chasing this when I should really just stay down and keep building with this.
Fuck around with this right here.
Like instead of chasing, it's because it feels flattering to get A&Rs calling you and all the other shit. But to have that one guy who's going to send you all the work and he's going to put your work out and y'all building together, that feels way more advantageous for both parties.
Yeah, less plane tickets and all. Right. All that, man.
So was that on purpose or did you realize that later? Like what was the thought process like? When you was doing that, like, what was it like? I'm gonna focus on who's focusing on me.
Yeah, while I was in the act, man, I didn't recognize that. And until, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna call it the end, but when he passed.
When he passed, yeah.
That's when I was able to say, damn, you know.
That was my first call.
Damn, that was that real call,
right? Yeah, now. Yeah.
Like, really, hey, man, I want you to meet the plug, and yo, you. Shit you got going, though, know, is really worth
us coming over here. Yeah,
really getting some shit popping. You know what I mean? And never got that call from dude. Always, hey man, working on a new album. Let's see what you got. Type.
Yeah,
shit, you know what I mean. But them, they was like, hey, bring what you have.
Yeah, they wanted you.
Yeah, they wanted
me. But one probably felt like they started, so they it was entitlement probably, and one felt like I need that.
Yes. Yep.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And one felt like we did that. Nah, nigga. I still want to feel needed every day.
Yeah, bro. Let's keep this shit going.
I still want to feel needed. And you look at...
Honestly, so if I was actually, which really was supposed to be, is if I was been the third party of Grand Hustle, me chasing the tip as the owners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody would... Motherfucker would have had to pay top dollar to get my
sound. But you still had to go get your money.
Plus, I would have kept that shit in-house as much as possible.
Mm.
Definitely. PSC would have been mostly Tomb. Everything. Young Dre, everything. I would have overseen everything. It would have been... You would have had to really have a bag for me to get my work outside of that.
And if you look at superstar artists, they all have a main collaborator. Yes. Yeah. Like, well, Usher is always Jermaine and B. Cox, right?
Drake is, you know, 40.
Like, yep. Huh? Drake is 40. With Beyonce, it's the Dream.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? The Dream, yep. Right? You look at it. You know, he always showed up with her. Like, so, you know, Teron is Lizzo. Like, that's there together. So you got to have that. But I don't know if I wanted to bring that up is because I think people shouldn't chase.
Yeah.
And sometimes the chase just feels so fun. Like, I'm talking to this guy, I'm talking to that guy. But what you don't realize is that you're spreading your art around and leaving it to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Right? And you never going to be able to milk it. And if you look at all the people that really won, pay attention. Like, Dre, as much as we talk about Dr. Dre, you can't mention his name without Jimmy Iovine.
Right. Facts. Yeah, definitely.
Because if it was Eazy-E, then it was Suge, and then it became Jimmy, and it's been Jimmy since day one. Yeah, they built a $4 billion empire together, just locking in on each other. Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, we gotta get back to that. Hmm. You knew who the underdogs was Clive's guys.
Right.
You knew Polo was Jimmy's guy. You knew Tricky and the Dream was LA's guys. Dallas was LA guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Organized Noise is LA guys. When they needed a check, when they had an artist, when they wanted a deal, they called their guy.
Yeah.
We don't have that no more.
Yeah, Interscope always been that label that fuck with the producers. You got to think from Mike Will to Polo to Will I Am.
All those deals is Jimmy.
Yeah, all them Jimmy deals.
All those deals. Like, it ain't Interscope though.
Shit. Okay, well, Jimmy.
It's Jimmy because Janik and them, that's not their thing. Timbaland,
okay, yeah, so
fucking
yeah.
Pharrell, like everybody. He had his house was the house of producers.
Right.
LA's house was the house of Atlanta songwriter producers. Like everybody had their go to, and I just wanted to bring that up because there's so many producers out here. I would say to you, producers, songwriters, artists, lock in.
Yeah.
Like lock in with a label, labels, lock in with the people you want to go. Yeah. Like dog, when TLC's biggest record came from Outkast's production company.
Oh yeah.
Like think about that. Like TLC's biggest record came from the niggas that bought me Outkast.
Yeah.
He knew, give me what can y'all do for TLC? Y'all see what y'all did for Outkast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was those days to me need to come back. And I just want to focus on
speaking of development too, I can say artist, developer, slash producer. That was that boy Rico, man.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Shout out to Rico. Rest in peace, Rico Wade.
Everybody who was around him, he played a part in molding them to a degree.
Yeah.
You know,
I told everybody.
On the MP and shit, but as far as like that whole getting their mind right, like, yeah, Rico was that big brother for a lot of them cats, man.
Yeah, we need more of that shit because I think this is random, but I was listening to CeeLo's verse on Thought Process.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
that shit made verse of the week, Muff on and Source.
Bro, that shit needs to be in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, it should
like,
be.
You know his verse, like you like nigga, it's like he goes in. It's like it's almost like I'm rap. He said, you might see me on TV, but it's almost like I'm rapping for free. That little money be gone. God damn it, I'm grown. Gotta help keep the heat and the lights on. And then he goes, it would be nice to have Mo, but I kinda like being Poe. At least I know what my friends here for. I want a lot of you sometimes, but I can't. I wanna tell you that it's all good, but it ain't. This niggas hurting and uncertain about if they gonna make it or not. And then you got niggas feeling like they coming up off a little dope they sold. You get some gold, but you won't make it as a whole. Cause without you, there'd be no me. And without me, what he said, without you, there'd be no me. And without, there will never be any happiness. You could smoke a pound of cess and it still won't believe your stress. God bless. Nigga.
Oh man, come on.
Nigga.
He got verse of the month and source for that one.
That comes from being in a room with Andre 3000 saying, who coming behind me?
Yes,
Dre. I'ma go. And then Drake comes with as an outcast. I was born, wasn't worn. It has to be that.
Within you to just win just in life.
Yeah.
Like, not even just this rap shit, just period.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I agree.
And not like knocking each other over, but somewhere you should feel like, oh, okay, I'm a goddamn.
Yeah.
I'm
coming.
This motherfucker. Yeah.
I'm coming. And we saw with Tip and Luda.
Yeah,
we saw it with Jeezy and Tip. We see it with everybody that's on it, and it's what fuels us. Mm-hmm. Who's the king today?
Yeah,
and to me, that's what used to fuel niggas. And we need to get back to who's next because we don't know who's next is.
Books back there. You don't think somebody think about competing with Slutty Vegan right now?
Come on,
she's
man.
Kicking ass. You
kicking
know?
Everybody
all
ass.
Women out here doing their thing, restaurants and all. You know, so yeah, somebody is putting their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's working on that. Believe that.
Huh? Going out the Goodwill. I want to ask you a question too. Last question, and unless you ask something, Rick, I want you to tell me because it was one thing about you that I always wondered. It always felt like the only artist that you actually invested in was Tip, and I want to know, was that on purpose? Or did you just not find something that you wanted for yourself? Was that not of interest? I always wanted to ask you that.
But Tip, it's wild because I was in Miami, you know, I started doing this shit in 85. So I started Raheem and everybody, boom. Then I ended up moving to Miami when I graduated from high school. 87, 88, I'm down there moving around with Shy-D and shit. So producing records, slanging beats for 1500, signing work for hire, not knowing what the hell I'm doing, but coming home with wads and money type shit. No publishing, no royalties or nothing. So there's a lot of records out there that I ain't getting shit for.
Oh wow!
I think I registered about three of them though.
Yeah.
My goal, because around 91, I heard that, you know, LA and Face with them were here or whatnot, and I was like, damn, how can I get to LaFace Records? And so I started seeing the Outkast shit pop off. So the first artist I produced here when I got home was Lil Jon and East Side Boys. So that was Shawty Freak a little something.
Shawty Freak a little something.
So I didn't know you did that. On there,
I thought Jazzy Faye did that for some reason.
Yeah, he just sung the hook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see sung the hook. That's why. Production.
And so I was like, all right, I still want to get in this damn LaFace shit, right? And then when I started hearing how the Rico, you know, basically Outkast was their group, I was like, oh, I need to get my own act.
Yeah.
Man, I was running around Ben Hill, Southwest Atlanta, just waiting to see
who would show their face.
Man, I was just listening to all these different artists, I'm going to showcases and whatnot. But my little hustling partner named Toot, Jamel Morgan, may he rest in peace, finally got me to listen to his little cousin. And once I heard him, and around that time, I got my first real royalty check from Dr. Doolittle soundtrack. Yeah. That was 1997.
Yeah.
And I invested in the tip, man. Took him to the studio. I was like, man, I'm finna get my artist. So that was my way. Boom. I ended up getting to LaFace Records.
Yeah. So he was
the one who I really invested that time and money into, the first. But then after him, this next artist was this dude named Sugar Sugar.
Mm-hmm. I remember Sugar Sugar.
Do It With No Hands. We had the first Do It With No Hands record.
He didn't sing the song Hey Come To Folks.
No, that was Jack Boner.
Okay, yeah.
Jack Boner was next.
Yeah, I
put about 30 to 50 into each one. I didn't make it to the 100 mark. You know, if it would have been more successful, I would have put more into it. But yeah, I had my own label, End Zone Entertainment. And I had my own label a while back in 92, Down Payment Records. That was me and Brother Marquise, my boy D from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That really didn't do too much, but yeah, Jack Boner and Sugar Sugar, I would say. Another dude named Ree from New Orleans. Shout out to Ree.
Mm-hmm.
He got his doing his thing out in L.A.
Yeah.
I'd invest in a few artists, but they just didn't pop off. Yeah. You know,
I was just always wanting to know that because I'm like, you're not a...
And producers
like,
as well.
Like some producers, you know what they bring, but you're more of an architect.
Yeah.
So because you're an architect, like architects build.
Yeah, I build.
Like build. You should start your own trap men.
Just gotta figure it out, man. You know, there's so much I'm trying to do right now.
But I'm saying you should start. You know how Puff had the hitmen?
Yeah.
You should have the trap men. And make it like an organization. I'm telling you, because imagine if you have five, because they could be like the 808 mafia that you created.
But listen, I'm telling you, every producer that you know who has gotten their first $1 million check or more than $1 million, that's one thing we all have done is go sign about 3 or 4 producers.
Yeah.
So when I was in the West End, I had like 5 producers who I signed. I gave each one like $25,000 a piece and whatnot. You know, some of them kept their jobs and, you know, saved their money. And some of them thought they could just be around making beats. And then that shit started going down.
Yes.
So it's like, but that shit went from a production house to if I go to LA and come back, you know, if I go to LA for about a week and come back, that shit turned to a college dorm, man. You know, rubbers behind the couch and shit.
Oh, I hate
just,
that.
Just a lot of shit, man. It just turned it went crazy, man. And I'm like, all right, well, let me hear some music. Have y'all done any songs?
Well, yeah, I quit.
Yeah, and after a while, I was like, all right, this shit's crazy. The only person that I've seen that really had a real run as far as having producers under umbrella is Mike Will.
Yeah, Mike Will.
Mike Will is the only one. Everyone has tried it. Yeah. Every producer has signed multiple producers under that shit when they get that first real bag. Yeah. All of us have tried it. But Mike Will, shout out to Mike. He's the one who's been the most successful, had the longest run, and really keeping his clique together, because you can try to keep everybody together, but that's just like taking care of kids, man.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to give you one piece of advice. It's the last thing I'm going to say. It's one thing you didn't do that Mike Will did. See, that's how I work. I think about what's the difference. Mike Will gave them a name. They were the ear drummers. So now, mind you, I'm pretty sure a couple of ear drummers left, but then here come more ear drummers coming in. Man, it's not about you anymore. Now it's about the ear drummers. That's why I said you should call them trap men or something where it becomes
a Mike Will tag and then an ear drummer tag.
Exactly. Yeah. So that way, if you had them under you, so now they coming to see too for the trap sounds. You got all the young shit going on, but now they're that. So now they're not coming to your producer. They're coming to you. You own the shop. And
itself.
It's like how Puff had the hitmen.
Yeah.
It worked, but mind you, D Dot left, somebody else comes in.
Yeah.
When somebody, you gotta give it a brand.
Stevie J, Dent,
Chucky Thompson.
Chucky Thompson,
Brian Leslie,
Ron Amenra.
It was over
here. D Dot.
It was crazy.
D Dot, yeah, but see how we talking about? But we know the hitmen.
Right.
And you gotta give them a name.
Right.
You can't make them Rick and Ray.
You might just be on to something. I fuck with you on that.
Nah, because I'm looking at you. I'm like, bro, like if I wanted to come in, let's say if it's a pop artist, let's say if it's somebody, they're like, we want trap drums. Who the best person to call? You better call Toom.
Right.
You see what I'm trying to say? Because trap is, you can do that because you created it, number one. You are created it, and now everyone's using it. So you got Latin trap.
I should have done that.
Trap soul.
I had producers who was doing way more than trap. Like, they was doing R&B and all types
of
shit. Everyone I signed had... was able to like touch in different
genres. But you started with a brand, because think about it, McDonald's sells milkshakes and coffee now.
Right.
But they started, the brand was burgers and fries.
Right.
And the reason why Mike Will worked, because he had a brand, Puff did it, he had a brand. Even 808 Mafia, it's a brand.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the brand. You create the brand, sign people under it. Shit, I guarantee you open up shop saying something with trap in it, like tune this, and nigga, if you need help with trap drums, you need help with trap, come see us.
Be what? That next thing, okay. Yeah.
Man, you don't do that shit right now.
Yeah,
nigga, beat. I got you. Nigga, I need
troops.
Yeah, troops. All right. Well, listen, man. I appreciate you being on the show.
Appreciate you for having me, brother.
Thanks for coming. Shout out to our sponsors, Two Laws, Tote and Carry, and Yoko Vodka. Shout out to you for watching. Like, share, subscribe. Join the community if you want information like this. And just mess with us, man, because we ain't going nowhere. And, you know, let's get it. Thank you, Tomb. Let's go. This is the Artist Spotlight presented by The God Show. We are out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.